All right, all, welcome to AFC South Action. I'm Kyle, listening to the game. To my right, with me once again, Weasel, Chris, ready to bring you action. But as far as action goes, there was some action in the offseason regarding the Houston Texans. Not so much with, perhaps, you know, some of the stuff you may expect to be have mentioned, like, you know, Andre Johnson holding out and then getting signed or anything like that. No, right off the bat, I'm going to start with Brian Cushing, Rookie Defensive Player of the Year last year, even after three votes were put through, connected to a violation of the drug policy. He wasn't busted for steroids necessarily, but that's another situation where it was kind of a masking agent, or he had elevated testosterone levels or something like that.
I think it's more performance enhancing.
Right. But that's going to be a 4-game suspension, I believe, to start the season off the bat for a very important part of their linebacker core. But beyond that, they have Andre Johnson, Matt Schaub still at quarterback, and of course, you know, they got decent receivers surrounding him. Andre Davis is a pretty solid veteran, and Kevin Walter as well. Other than Steve Slayton at running back, I don't really know what's going on, and he's kind of the new Amon Green, where he's going to get hurt at some point, so yes, we will.
Speaking of running backs getting hurt, they have a second round pick who, when I was doing some research, he was in one of them that rookies drafted after the first round look out for.
Mm-hmm.
Running back Ben Tate out of Auburn. He was picked in the second round, like a big running back, good pick. Pretty sad for them. He's gonna miss this. He's gonna miss the season with an ankle.
So he's already on IR. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that worries me more than that is kind of moving over to the defensive side. I mean, no real big changes on the D line. That's kind of a so-so kind of position. But their top players last year were probably, once again, D'Amico Ryans, Brian Cushing, and cornerback Dante Robinson, who is no longer a factor as he was traded away. D'Amico Ryans, so then, will be the only remaining big name in the lineup on defense in the first 4 weeks. So if things, it's quite possible that certain mishaps like this could be what keep the Texans from making the playoffs, as many hope. You know, there's a lot of people in the Texan camp who think that this is the year for them to do well. Any other input?
No. They drafted cornerback Kareem Jackson out of Alabama.
Okay.
So that was a good first round pick.
Probably to try to replace Dante Robinson.
Yeah. So, records?
Yeah, another backup, Justin Griffin, was just put on IR too. So they're kind of weak, and they just re-signed Ryan Moats to fill his spot.
Okay, no, I didn't see that. All right. And this is at what position for the people at home?
For running back.
For running back, okay.
They're hurting on running back. And they're not happy with Slayton still because of his, not just because of his injuries, but his fumbles. The other night he had a fumble in the red zone again.
Oh, yeah, well.
So they're not too happy with him there.
That's a good way to get into the dog bounce real quick. So let's go around. How are they going to do, Weasel?
I got him going 10-6, 4-2 the division.
Chris?
I got him 3-3 in division, 8-8 overall.
Having to remind everybody that we do not go over these together beforehand, I too had 10-6 and 4-2. So let's go ahead and move over to the Colts. Now, based on what I don't know what it was, but when I looked at the Colts this year, there was a part of me that goes, they're not going to be as good this year. But then you look at the other teams in the division, and we'll look at the Titans and the Jags here in just a moment, and you see that not only did a lot of them not make steps forward, but a couple of them even took a step or two back. I mean, so we'll get to where I got to with the Colts there too. But at first, I had a feeling that, you know, oh well, we're getting all this hype that all these other teams are getting better in the division, and then you're like, wait, no, they're not, except for maybe the Texans on offense. Not so much. But so you got, of course, Peyton Manning at quarterback, Justin Vidae, Donald Brown, running backs, Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley, Anthony Gonzalez, and of course a tight end, Dallas Clark, accompanying all those receivers. O-line led by Jeff Saturday, solid unit there. Anybody else that thinks there's a better center in the NFL than Jeff Saturday? I don't, but that's just me.
Saturday's out for 4 to 6 weeks with a knee surgery right now.
Yeah, I did see that after I wrote my notes down. So, but I mean, he's been out before. There was enough difference, but I'm not worried yet. I still think they're going to make the playoffs and do all that. D-line still got Freeney and Mathis. Still, in my opinion, lacking the talent that they should really require at defensive tackle. Now, Quinn Session and Gary Brackett, two solid linebackers that they have, and defensive backs. Melvin Bullitt, Bob Sanders, and Antoine Bethea make for excellent safeties. That's a pretty well-rounded, team. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but I think that's pretty good balance there. So, you got something, Weasel, or?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, they picked up Townsend from Pittsburgh. I mean, he was a starter a couple years ago over there, so.
Townsend
in the corner, so it gets
Shea Townsend?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
So,
well, there you go, okay.
So they even get stronger at corner also.
Okay. So, yeah, now that we said all that, do records. Chris, what you got?
I got 5-1 in the division, 11-5 overall. They haven't played against Cincinnati in New England as their bonus game.
Okay. Weasel?
Got 11-5, 4-2 in the division.
Okay, I see them smashing both the Bengals and the Patriots in these bonus games. The Patriots don't have the defense to stop them, and the Bengals don't have the resolve. So I have them, and I even winced to read this. I have 5-1 in the division as well, just because I think they're going to dump one to the Texans. I have them going 14-2 overall. Mm-hmm. I just can't. I don't know why. I don't see them doing any worse.
They do play NFC East
though,
so it's really, true. It'd be a little tough.
Well, yeah, and I did flip flop. I looked at the Cowboys game quite intensely. I don't think the Giants have quite enough to stop them. I know the Redskins don't. I know the Eagles don't. Well, they don't have enough offense, rather, to stop them, so, you know. But anyways, yeah, I mean, that Cowboy game would make me look stupid for the 13-3, and I'd be all like, no, but who knows? I'm not comfortable with it, but that's what I'm going with. 14-2, 5-1. So, speaking of things that are very uncomfortable, how about the press conferences surrounding the Jags as of late? David Garrard and Luke McCown, your top quarterback options. Nothing instills confidence like David Garrard and Luke McCown, let me tell you what. Although, in fairness, it was only two short years ago that Garrard had 18 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on the year. Of course, that was back when they still had Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew in the backfield and a defense that could stop somebody. Maurice Jones-Drew, though, still a factor at running back, the kid they call Mojo. The wide receivers, Michael Sims-Walker and Kasim Osgood, a recent acquisition. Of course, because we have the Vikings fan here, I'll mention Troy Williamson, but he did nothing last year. Well, running back slash fullback Greg Jones is probably the next formidable being talent-wise at the running back position, in my opinion. On the D-line, they picked up Aaron Kampman. Not going to be enough to turn him around, although their D-backs do also feature Reggie Nelson and Rashean Mathis. Anybody see anything that I'm missing that might be a shining point for these guys? Because I don't.
Well, this ain't a shiny point, but defensive tackle Anthony Smith from La Tech. He was the second round draft pick. He can miss the season with a torn Achilles tendon.
He actually is on IR.
Yeah.
Reported today.
That's it.
And then also both of their defensive ends from last year are gone from the team too. So
they
pick up Kampman. I mean, they're not that great, but it's Kampman has no support on the defensive line.
The first round pick in there.
One of the linebackers.
Third round pick for both actually defensive ends. Tyson Alualu.
Yeah, just the way it looks.
Larry Hart.
Okay. Yeah, Alualu, I mean, really, the only good thing about drafting him is you get to say his last name. That's really about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most fun name that a Jaguar bore since Chris Fulmatu Maafala. I do anything I can to squeeze in that name. Y'all notice that? Anyway, you know, then I make references to Tim Banaka Batuka and all that. So. Let's just do it. Wrap it up. Who you got? What do you got for the Jags? Weasel.
1-5 in the division and 6-10 overall.
Chris.
I got 2-4 in division, 7-9 overall. They do their bonus games with Buffalo and Cleveland.
Mm.
And they also play the AFC West.
See,
so
Yeah, well, I mean,
had some wins to them.
Right, and honestly, I was prepared to give them less than 5 wins on the season until I saw their schedule. However, I believe the past 3 times they played the Bills, they have lost, or at the very least, they're 2-3. That Bills game ain't a gimme. That's a mind rape in the locker room. But even still, I got the Jags 6-10, 2-4 in the division. Which brings us to the Tennessee Titans. And ever since they got pounded endlessly in the England game, where the Patriots pounded them, what was it, like 50-something to zip, or just something absolutely retarded. You know, Vince Young's the quarterback with Kerry Collins as the backup. Chris Johnson as the running back has vouted that it is his goal to get 2,500 yards on the season. I don't think it'll happen, but if he does it, I wouldn't mind him. You know, this is kind of one where, you know, I think the way Jim Rome put it is, I hope he proves me wrong on this one, but there's no way in hell he's going to do it. Their receivers still mediocre as before, Justin Gage and Nate Washington. But tight end Bo Scaife, he's a big deal, folks. I'm saying fantasy. Anyway, so got the D-line, has really no one to mention since the departure of both Albert Haynesworth 2 or 3 years ago and Kyle Vandenbosch as well. Linebacker Jamie Winborn and safety Chris Hope stand as the notable names on the defense, and really, I'm just not impressed at all. I mean,
they also lost Keith Bullock too. So
right.
Makes it even weaker.
Mm-hmm.
From the linebacker core, their front 7 is going to be horrible this year.
Yeah, other than Jamie Winborn, they got a whole lot of nothing. So, wrapping through this division pretty quick. Weasel, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going 3-3 in the division and 8-8.
Wow.
They are playing the AFC West, and there are the 2 games from the
day. Miami and Pittsburgh?
Maybe not.
Chris?
Now, let me ask you a question first.
Hmm.
You got a 2,000-yard rusher last season.
Right.
Would you touch the offensive line?
No.
Well, Fisher wasn't thinking that, because they let go of 16-year vet center Kevin Mowe.
Kevin Mowe,
and they moved left guard Eugene Amano to center, and then their third-year player that's been switching between guard and center, backup Leroy Harris, starting. Kevin Mowe is president of the Players Association. No team has picked him up. I know there's some teams out there that need a good center, even though he has been in the league 16 years, but, I mean, a 2,000-yard rusher last year with Chris Johnson. With the Jets had a good running game when there for the 7 years he was there.
And then he got replaced by Mangold, I'm sure.
Right. So, I mean, I have them 2-4 because they do have to play Miami and Pittsburgh and NFC East. But, I mean, the AFC West is probably where they're going to get 2 of their wins also.
Weasel, you did? Glad you just had such a thorough explanation I completely forgot. My bad. But, yeah, so... from that standpoint, I mean, other than the politics, if you have up-and-comers that are going to do the job well and you can save some money on a 16-year guy, you know, the Titans have done it before. If anybody remembers the name Steve McNair, right? I mean, granted, he was only a 12-year veteran, but got a lot more press, obviously, as a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. Nonetheless, you guys both make references to the AFC West. I have a feeling that they will be in a position to give the AFC West weaker teams show signs of their improvement. 5-11, 2-4. So now that we're quite a bit ahead of schedule, since at least half the teams in this division, well, inhale profusely. It was announced today that the cavalry was sent to find Brett Favre and return him to camp, and. So he's allegedly unretired at this point. And the thing I found interesting, I was listening to the Dan Patrick show this morning, August 18th, last year. After camp, I think it was like 6 days after camp broke, 3 days before the second preseason game, last year, Brett Favre retired. This trip made by kicker Ryan Longwell, former Packer who used to play with Brett back in the day, they're drinking monies or something, Jared Allen and Steve Hutchinson, top defensive and offensive linemen, respectively, go to see him. Brett Favre unretires this year, 6 days after camp broke, 3 days before the second preseason game. Calculated! And my only problem with it is, look, dude, you could be up front and say, look, I'm 40-something years old. I don't want to go to fucking camp. And it would be fine. Would you care? Well, I know you when you're a sellout, but, you know.
I wouldn't care. He's proven to win. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
Look at the year before the last year. So, I mean, he's something for the team. But the question to you is, yeah, I don't think you had a choice. I mean, you got Jared Allen and Hutchinson going down there. I don't think he's going to say no to them two.
Oh, so you think they had a 2x4 in the damn truck?
They needed someone to drive the car. I'm sorry, I'm 6'5", 350. I'd say yes to Jared Allen, too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look. He's intimidating enough, but Steve Hutchinson, that is not a pretty man. I'd be scared. But the two of them there, forget that. Game over. Anyways, so what we'll do there, friends doing whatever it is they need to do and any of that, connecting that, I think there was something in Hard Knocks where fullback Tony Richardson was talking with two other fullbacks. With one of the coaches, and the coaches were telling him what time to be at a particular drill. Like, hey, you know, Tony, you've been in the NFL for 16 years. You do things how you do. You get there on time. That's fine. You two, 5 minutes early every day.
Yeah, that's for practice.
Right. That's just like, how it works.
Yeah.
And it's 15 minutes early at every practice. Richardson, you have your routine.
You know, so you've been in the NFL for 16 years. You're going to be a Hall of Fame player one day. You had your routine. You make it out here, you know, on time. You do what you got to do. You two, early. You know, and I mean, there's elements of that in the semi-pro team I play for, too, just to show that this isn't something that's just, you know, one or two places. I mean, this is the culture. That's what you do. If Brett Favre is old and is soon to be a future Hall of Famer, it's okay if he doesn't go to camp. C. Strahan. Of course, that's another bag of money. I still think you should have paid that damn fine, but that's just me. So, that'll wrap it up for this edition of our preseason prediction shows. You can go ahead and shoot us an email and let us know your feelings, or if there's any other teams you want featured at thesotg@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter with thesotg. So that will wrap us up for the AFC North. See you next time.